Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a profile of the latest rising star in the Republican presidential primaries, Rick Santorum. Dr. Terry Madonna, the founder of the Keystone Poll and an expert on Pennsylvania politics, joins us. He has closely followed Rick Santorum's political career for decades, and we will try to assess Santorum's chances of becoming the nominee, as well as his aggressive stance on social issues, where he has not only crusaded against gay marriage and abortion, but also opposes contraception. Then, with the president making a rare appearance at the Pentagon today, where he presented a new defense strategic review and announced the tide of war is receding, we will get an analysis of what a leaner U.S. military might look like from Winslow Wheeler, who has worked on national security issues for 31 years as a senior Senate staffer and at the General Accounting Office. He is now the director of the Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information and is the author of Wastrels of Defense, How Congress Sabotages U.S. Security. Then finally, with the president's recess appointment of Richard Cordray, we will examine what is behind Republican attempts to block a new head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau from assuming his office. The author of Broke USA, From Pawn Shops to Poverty, Inc., How the Working Poor Became Big Business, joins us. Gary Rivlin is a special correspondent for Newsweek and The Daily Beast, and he will explain why the Republicans are protecting payday lenders, mortgage companies, debt collectors, and other predators. Joining us now is Dr. Terry Madonna, a professor of public affairs and director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College, where he directs the Franklin and Marshall College Poll. He has written extensively about voters and voting behavior and founded the Keystone Poll in 1992, the oldest survey produced exclusively in Pennsylvania, which was renamed the Franklin and Marshall College Poll. He is the pollster for the Philadelphia Daily News and many other newspapers and television stations in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Terry Madonna.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And the surprising rise of Rick Santorum must be having some ripples in the home state, because back in 2006, the voters in Pennsylvania soundly defeated him by, what, an 18-point margin?
Yeah, that's exactly the current U.S. Senator. One of our current U.S. Senators, Bob Casey, defeated Santorum in 2006. And what was not arguably a wave election, you know, that was the election in which the Democrats stormed back into control in Congress. And Santorum was soundly defeated, in part because of the wave worked against his party, and because there were some other issues that came up during the course of the campaign. But to go back to your original question, I mean, most Pennsylvanians, at least those that I've talked with, lots of reporters and lots of people just on the street from radio conversations that I had with them, are stunned. That's the only word you can use, stunned. You know, in 2006, the guy was put out of work, you know, in a sense, put out of his job in Washington. And now he's one of the top-tier candidates to become the Republican candidate for the presidency of the United States.
And as a conservative Republican, I detect a certain irony in looking at his biography, that he's never had a job in the private sector.
That's exactly right.
He's always, even though he got a law degree and went to a business school after going to Penn State University, his entire working life has been in politics.
That's exactly right. And when I first met him in the 1980s, he was working for a member of the state Senate in Pennsylvania, and then went on to law school, which he acquired going part-time in the evenings, moved to Pittsburgh after his law degree was completed, and then in 1990 ran for Congress and won in his first outing in 1990.
So what is the, I mean, we could talk about Terry Madonna about his chances in a little bit, but I'm just trying to get an understanding of what makes him tick. He's done well in Iowa because he is an authentic person.
You're exactly right. I mean, for all the criticisms that get hurled at him by Democrats and some folks in the media, there isn't any doubt that that he is principled and that he's focused and has a firm belief in what's right and wrong and what should be done based on, oftentimes, he's said, his moral values and his religion, which is a practicing Roman Catholic. So there isn't any doubt about that. And he's a real believer in the things that he fights for and the things that he opposes.
And I suppose the contrast there with Romney is that a lot of people don't buy Romney's act. He just doesn't feel authentic.
Right. Yeah, well, the way to think about that is, I mean, he's also maybe the luckiest guy in the world, because each of four candidates for the presidency on the Republican side had their moment in the sun, burst on the scene like a meteorite, and then was replaced about 6 or 7 weeks later by another rising star, soon to be Burt. You know where I'm heading with this. You've got Bachman, then you had the rise of Perry, then you had Herman Cain, then you had Newt Gingrich. And so how fortuitous was it when those other four candidates, candidacies, I won't say went up in flames, but developed very serious problems, so that Santorum became the last person standing among the social conservatives, among the Tea Party activists. And it was just fortuitous in the sense that they had all gotten themselves into one bad situation or another, one developed one problem or another, and Santorum was the beneficiary of that.
Well, it also indicates, though, surely, Dr. Terry Madonna, that the Republican voters are restless and undecided, and they're not happy with the front runner. They're casting about.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, the way I think about this is that, you know, there's been tremendous change in the landscape since 2006. And one of the important things about that is that a guy like Santorum has this fixed set of views, very firm and very committed to him. So a lot of people that may not normally say, I'm going to vote for him, like the fact that he is consistent. And on the questions of debts and deficits and social conservatism, he's been there for much of his political career. And so it would only be natural that as these other candidates came and fell, that he would be there to pick up support among social conservatives, Tea Party activists, fiscal conservatives, because the Republicans are looking for sort of the dream candidate. You know, they're dreaming about going on their first date, and you want the perfect candidate with all of the prerequisites that entails. But unlike, that's not the way the real world of politics like. I mean, it is. Most politicians have feet of clay at some point.
Again, I'm speaking to Dr. Terry Madonna, who's a professor of public affairs and director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College, where he directs the Franklin and Marshall College poll. He's also a pollster for the Philadelphia Daily News and many other newspapers and television stations in Pennsylvania, and has followed the career of Rick Santorum for 30 years now. Now, let's just turn to the implications of a man like him becoming president, because he does come across almost as a scold, something out of the Puritan past, you know, the scarlet letter types.
Right.
I have no problem with people being religious or even zealously religious, but when they impose their religion on others, or their, you know, impossibly high standards. I mean, he's not just against abortion and gay marriage; he's against contraception.
That's right.
This is just feels like. He doesn't have a snowball's chance. Prayer in hell,
in a place below, right?
Right.
So yeah, I can't disagree with that. I mean, in Pennsylvania, we got to know him pretty well, obviously, because he served 12 years as a United States Senator. I point out, you know, he's not been full throated champion of the party, but he did very early in his career, you know, insinuate himself into Republican politics, and certainly made that another way in which he got himself elected twice. But having said all of that, I find it hard to believe that he would ultimately become the nominee. I've been convinced all along, maybe I'm on another planet, that Romney would be the nominee. He's got all the money in the world to run. Santorum has very little, although he picked up $1 million in the last 24 hours. Romney has a good organization. Santorum has very little. So when you take a look at those two big ingredients, you have to wonder if Santorum can hold out. Now, here's how he does get help. Bachmann is now out of the race. True, she doesn't have a huge cadre of support. But if the majority of them would go to Santorum, then when Rick Perry gets out, you see where I'm heading with this. He becomes the beneficiary of the conservatives.
But Perry's not behaving according to the script. It's very puzzling to figure out what his motivations are.
He's staying in South Carolina.
His big supporters down there, a couple of wealthy Texas ranchers, are hosting a meeting with Gary Bauer, the former presidential candidate, the Reverend Wildman, and Dobson. The purpose of this meeting is to find an alternative to Romney.
Perry, as you point out, is not campaigning, withdrew from the campaign in New Hampshire, but will stay in to South Carolina. But in the next couple of weeks, as these candidates fall by the wayside, Santorum would normally be expected to pick up their support because they come from the wing of the Republican Party, the Tea Party, the social conservatives, the Christian evangelicals. And I think that's what I meant when I said he would be the beneficiary of it unless they could find someone else to move into the vacuum that conceivably could be created.
Well, it doesn't look like they will at this late stage. They may have to, and I'm wondering what Perry's motives are to be a spoiler in that regard, unless, of course, he thinks that Romney's going to give him a cabinet position because he doesn't even know what the government departments that he wants to ban.
But I will say this in general, as a political scientist, I've written a lot about parties and conventions. There's not a time, maybe since 1924, that we've seen this, I'm trying to figure out a word for it. It's not that the Republicans are in a horrific state organizationally. It's not that they don't have any money, but the fluidity surrounding this race, how unsettled Republican voters are in this race. I mean, we've not seen that combination of factors in a Republican contest since maybe before the Civil War, which makes this all unique and why most of us have been wrong every time we make a projection. Every time we make a prediction, the next day we find out, that one didn't work out so well.
So when you were saying earlier, Dr. Terry Madonna, Professor of Public Affairs and Director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College, where he directs the French Franklin Marshall College poll. He also is the pollster for the Philadelphia Daily News and other newspapers and television stations in Pennsylvania. When you said the people in Pennsylvania are just stunned that their former senator is now suddenly a serious contender for the Republican nomination for president, what is in terms of his home life, if you will? Yeah. He's got seven children, I believe. Disabled 3-year-old daughter, and of course there was a flap over the miscarried child who took home the body, and Alan Combs got into all kinds of trouble on Fox for making references to how strange that was, but he did get into trouble, didn't he, over disclosures that he was homeschooling his children
at his
family residence in Virginia, and yet he was charging the state of Pennsylvania's school district to enroll him in a cyber school. So what, isn't homeschooling, I know it's quite common, but it does seem to be an assumption that your children are too precious to face the corrupt and evil outside world.
Yeah, public schools, the corrupt public schools, yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you something about that. That was a huge issue that Casey used. Bob Casey, the senior senator from Pennsylvania, who, by the way, is in his first term, got to be senior member, senior senator from the state already. Senator Casey used that issue against Santorum in 2006, that he, in effect, didn't live in the district. And then there was this business, as you point out, with the cyber charter school, and that the money to pay for that came from the school district back in Allegheny County, where Santorum had a residence, actually has a residence there. But the fact is that he wasn't living, you know, he's basically living in Washington, as you point out. Now, here's one point. The irony was that when he ran against Doug Walgren in 1990, his first election, he made the very same argument against Walgren, that Walgren, in for 14 terms, had completely withdrawn from his district and was an absentee congressman. So what's funny to me, ironic to me, is he had used that very same argument to defeat Doug Walgren in 1990. Why wouldn't Casey then use it against him when he was doing the very same thing in 2006?
Well, but what do you know about him, though, as a person? Because I can't understand why people, and they know him, and I don't know him, so I'm taking their word for it, that he is a kind of compassionate conservative, that he has. But on the other hand, he's a hate monger in terms of being against gays and gay marriage, and he refers to how single-parent homes have spawned poverty. And government intervention, that's hardly compassionate. I mean, people don't choose to be single parents. It usually happens by unfortunate happenstance.
You appropriately bring this up. I mean, I've never heard of him described as a compassionate conservative, actually. And he does have these very strong feelings about them. But I almost think it's the way he expresses them and what he would like to do as an alternative to them. You know, there are a lot of public officials around the country who are pro-life, but they don't, they don't refer to the other side as virtually being against Christianity, you know what I mean, or against, and seek harsh penalties for those who would violate the norm. And Pennsylvanians, I think, had grown a little weary of that, by the way, in the run-up to 2006 when he lost his seat to a state treasurer, Bob Casey, who's now our senior U.S. senator. But I think you're right about that.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Terry Madonna.
It's been my pleasure. Have a good evening.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Terry Madonna, who's a professor of public affairs and director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College, where he directs the Franklin and Marshall College poll. He's written extensively about voters and voting behavior and founded the Keystone Poll in 1992, the oldest survey produced exclusively in Pennsylvania, and he's the pollster for the Philadelphia Daily News and many other newspapers and television stations in Pennsylvania. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about how the president showed up at the Pentagon today and said the tide of war is receding.
Ooh, love breaks the machine. Everything's half a dream. How can it be?